From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series of studies in the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, A Great Cloud of Witnesses, based on the opening verses of chapter 12. Before we hear from Dr. Cairns, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook, written by the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Today's devotional is called The Safest Shelter. The text is Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 2, And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. Who this man is, we all know. Who could he be but the second man, the Lord from heaven, the man of sorrows, the Son of Man? What a hiding place he has been to his people. He bears the full force of the wind himself, and so he shelters those who hide themselves in him. We have thus escaped the wrath of God, and we shall thus escape the anger of men, the cares of this life, and the dread of death. Why do we stand in the wind when we may so readily and so surely get out of it by hiding behind our Lord? Let us this day run to him and be at peace. Often the common wind of trouble rises in its force and becomes a tempest, sweeping everything before it. Things which looked firm and stable rock in the blast, and many and great are the falls among our carnal confidences. Our Lord Jesus, the glorious man, is a covert which is never blown down. In him we mark the tempest sweeping by, but we ourselves rest in delightful serenity. This day, let us just stow ourselves away in our hiding place and sit and sing under the protection of our covert. Blessed Jesus, how we love thee! Well we may, for thou art to us a shelter in the time of storm.
Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love or shame, sweetly my soul shall rest. Heart is the voice of angels, for they the song to me. Of glory over the jasper sea. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love
Jesus, my heart's dear refuge, Jesus has died for me. Firm on the rock of ages, ever my trust shall be. Here let me wait with patience, wait till the night is o'er. Wait till I see the morning break on the golden shore. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love worship.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. Thank you. As part of this series of studies in Hebrews chapter 11, Dr. Cairns is bringing a message called A Great Cloud of Witnesses. The spirit of chapter 11 actually carries over into verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12 of Hebrews, where the imagery is that of a great sporting event in which the saints in heaven are characterized as a great cloud of witnesses. The scene we have is of a group who serve as spectators to a race and who are cheering for those who are running. From the text, we see that believers are called to run a race for God. This is the nature of our calling, and the thought of heavenly witnesses ought to inspire us to run our best, so that we may obtain what Paul spoke of as the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Such a race involves considerable cost to the runner, for it demands the utmost exertion and commitment. Unlike earthly races, however, the Christian's strength comes not from within himself, but from Christ. We are to run looking unto Jesus. In order to run this race effectively, believers must lay aside every hindrance, or, as the text says, every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now to continue this message, A Great Cloud of Witnesses, here is Dr. Cairns.
You live and run this race by faith, looking unto Jesus. What you believe, and especially as you focus on the person and the work of the Redeemer, you'll run the race and persevere. The third thing these people in the cloud of witnesses do for us is that they warn us of the hindrances we must deal with. We're to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. The word weight has the literal significance. This is going to hit hard, the preacher and many listeners. The literal significance of a swelling. Whatever increases the size and the weight of the body so as to hinder its fitness to run. Did you ever see a marathon runner the shape of some of us? He would not only be an athlete, he'd be an absolute miracle. It's a young lady on the American gymnastic team. She's not a world beater, and I don't think she ever will be. Things just didn't happen at the right time for her. Great gymnasts among men reach the towering height of 5 foot five or 5 foot six normally. Among women, they're about 14 or 15 years of age. They weigh between 85 and 95 or 100 pounds, and they stand all of 4 foot 11 to 5 feet tall. This young woman, her body had the audacity to grow up, and she became a young woman. So what does she do? For years, she lives on the strictest diet that she is like a willow. So that there's not an ounce of extra flesh that would hinder her great goal of pursuing her athletic career. I'm not saying that she's wise in what she does. In fact, to be quite honest, I think that she's very unwise for many reasons. Paul looked at athletes like that and he drew a spiritual lesson. And he says, get rid of every weight, get rid of every encumbrance to spiritual progress. Now let's see what the scripture says in this. Turn with me to Luke 21. And verse 34. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. Take heed to yourselves. Now let's stop there just for a minute. Take heed to yourselves. Do you know, that sounds so simple, and there's not one Christian in 100 lives his life that way. Take heed to yourselves. Be very careful about something here. There's a diligent attention that needs to be given to how you're living. And he's saying, take heed lest at any time. I think that there is at least the suggestion of something slipping up on a Christian. Something overtaking you. Something that's not your normal way of life. Something that you don't usually have to worry about. But he says, always be in your guard, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. Do you see what he puts in there? But Lord, I have never been drunk in my life. Many people here could say, quite honestly, Lord, even if I were not saved, I don't think I ever would be drunk through the rest of my life. It's no interest to me. Maybe you couldn't say that. Maybe you could. Matters not. Don't get drunk. But he says, don't be overcharged with the cares of this life. Oh, that's a different thing. What a double standard we adopt in the Church of Christ. If one of our members got off the rails and got drunk, man, we'd all be up in arms, and rightly so. What a slander to Christ. What an awful trouble to that person's soul and testimony to go out and get drunk. But the Lord Jesus says, what about the cares of this life? What about those of you who are so busy with your jobs that you've no time for your wife and family to lead them on with God? What about those of you who are so much taken up with what you're going to make that you're making nothing of the Christian race? What about those who are so worried about the world that they have lost sight of the world to come? Jesus says, you may as well be a drunkard. The same sin. The same sin. It's keeping you back from running the race. It's overcharging your heart with things that ought not to be there. Lay aside every weight. Lay aside whatever is keeping you back from running the race. Time forbids that we go on through Romans 13, Ephesians 4, and Colossians 3, a list of scriptures. Had we time, I would love to go down and just apply them one by one to our hearts. Putting off the old man, putting on the new man, making not provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Jesus Christ and his apostles were very clear in this. You put aside anything that's hindering to your spiritual well-being. But then he says, you lay aside particularly the sin that doth so easily beset us. There's been some question as to the Authorized Version's translation. Is it the happiest? I personally think it is the very happiest translation you could get. The word that's used here is a unique word. It's made up of three Greek words just put together. The first one is well, the next one is around, and the next one is standing. In other words, literally, it is the sin that is standing well around you. The reference is to any loose garment that would readily cling around the limbs of a racer. That's why you don't normally see a woman running in an evening gown. I mean running in an athletic competition. You may see her running in an evening gown, but in athletic competition. John Brown, the great Scottish commentator, made it this: any loose garment that would readily come around the limbs of a racer. laid aside. Now let's take that to ourselves. Lay aside every weight, but especially, that sin which stands well around us. That sin, first of all, that stands well with us. It's always easier to be nice to yourself about your own pet sin than somebody else's sin. And it's always easier for me to deal with sins that really don't cost me anything to deal with than that sin that stands well with me. A sin that has particular attraction or some particular advantage or some sin that is most likely to get in my way. Paul says, especially pay attention to that. You know, there's a great deal of absolute arrant nonsense taught in Bible-believing pulpits. The greatest stupidity is carried on in Bible-believing pulpits, and Christians sitting in the pews are dumb enough to accept it. Now, does that sound harsh? Let me give you an example. We had a preacher, a very good and godly man, who preached in the early days in the Free Church. I'll not give you the history of all our preachers. We had all sorts of characters came to attach themselves for a while to the early days of our movement. The Lord weeded them out. This fellow was a holiness preacher. Now he had before him, he had a group of the strictest, most separated people you could ever meet in your lives. All the women had long hair. I have nothing against that. I don't want to get personal and talk about you looking like men. You get mad when I look like a woman. Well, I think it goes the other way as well. But that's not my point today. All these women had long, uncut hair. Not a trace of makeup. Made some sense. No jewelry. Dressed very, very carefully, modestly, in many cases even somberly. So what does he get up and preach about? He's skinning sin. One of the things he's skinning is hula hoop skirts. I'd love to have seen some of those women at church in a hula hoop skirt. I mean, I don't know if you had those over here, but these huge things that looked like shortened crinolines and this hoop around them to keep them. Crazy style and all that, but there was nobody there with that style. He was flaying and slaying the awful sins of the flesh. And all those people were sitting there taking it. But the sins that really needed to be dealt with were totally overlooked. Totally overlooked. The sins that were dear to them. One of his right-hand men had a tongue that would have cut many a good and did cut many a good and godly Christian down to the ground and left them wallowing, as it were, in their own blood that could do nothing. Ah, that sin wasn't dealt with. No, sir. There's a sin that stands well around us. It gets an advantage over us. That's the sin to deal with. But I think it's especially the sin that Paul has been warning about right through Hebrews. That's the sin of unbelief that leads to apostasy. It was the call to these people to go back to Judaism. The sin of Hebrews 6, the sin of Hebrews 10. He said in Hebrews 3:12, that you have to be careful about one thing, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Be careful of that. Lay aside every temptation to apostasy. I don't think that we are in the danger that these Hebrews were in of being threatened by open apostasy. But we are in danger of unbelief. Hebrews 11 tells you, live by faith and set aside that sin which would question the will of God and the word of God. Set aside that could I put it this way, that natural propensity to try to do things in the flesh and not in the spirit of faith in Christ. Lay aside that sin.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.